When it comes to industrial mining sites, with all mining companies, which we know are member of the mines of the Chamber of Mines, we haven't seen any COVID-19 case to date. So there is none.
The COVID-19 pandemic has hit the world hard. No matter where you live, your life has definitely been impacted by the virus in some way or form. Although the number of positive cases in the DRC are much lower than other countries, precautions remain necessary to reduce health risks. Hello, I'm Richard van Vuren, online editor of miningreview.com, and welcome back to our podcast, Deep Insights. This week, Editor-in-Chief Laura Cornish follows up with three of our panelists from a DRC COVID-19-focused Mining Review Africa and DRC Mining Week hosted webinar. The webinar was met with fantastic response, and we have decided to continue the conversation. Our experts will get to expand their thoughts on some of the audience questions posed during the webinar. A warm welcome again to Boris Komstra, Director of Pangaea Exploration and Executive Director of Altman Resources. Amadeo Anacello, Chief Executive Officer of Standard Bank DRC, and Louis Watoun, Managing Director of Ivanhoe Mines DRC Operations. Just how badly has the DRC been impacted by COVID-19? Do you think the government has assisted the mining sector adequately, managed risk, and how do you imagine the mining sector in a post-COVID world? Let's join the discussion.
Boris, thanks so much for joining us. Do you see an opportunity in the post-COVID-19 world to improve the living wage of artisanal miners?
I think that is a very complicated question and an incredibly complex problem to try and deal with. Artisanal miners are very reliant on a high-grade deposit that needs to be shallow with a high-value commodity that they're able to produce. They also, so they need to be able to mine it easily, and they need to be able to create a saleable product, which often is not just the raw ore. They have to convert it to a degree to something that is more saleable in the market. And then their distance from the market and the number of intermediaries they have to go through further puts pressure on the sustainability and the wages that they're able to earn. So I think it's going to be very tough going for them in the current environment, given that commodity prices are depressed other than gold. I think the artisanal miners doing gold, and particularly those with very high grade deposits, or I would imagine the guys running dredges, I think would do remarkably well given where the gold price currently sits. There's a very interesting program being run by Trafigura where they are looking to formalize to a degree artisanal mining production of cobalt. And I think it's going to be very interesting to watch this and see how it transpires. But certainly artisanal mining is responsible for an enormous number of livelihoods to people who would otherwise not have an income. However, once one starts pushing the parameters in terms of, you know, the commodity price going down or the amount of overburden that needs to be moved or the depth they have to mine at, it starts becoming difficult to sustain economically and extremely difficult to sustain in a positive health, safety, and environmental perspective. The costs just become too onerous, and that's when the more negative side of artisanal mining starts becoming apparent. So I don't think there are any answers, I'm afraid. Or rather, any simple answers.
I guess only time will tell in this area. Is there a risk of a reduction, in your opinion, in spend on environmental and social management or investment in these areas in the short or medium term? Or Boris, do you think that these issues are sufficiently important to ensure that standards will be maintained?
You know, I think there's a huge amount of misunderstanding of the regulations and the rules that mining companies have to comply with. In the DRC, there's an overarching regulatory structure being the DRC Mining Code and everything that goes with it. They're very strong environmental requirements one has to comply with, certainly social requirements. And then, so for any company that is not reporting to any other type of institution, so private companies, companies coming out of the East, the DRC framework will provide the bare minimum that people can do. They have to comply with that code. For companies that are listed, such as Alphamin, there's another raft of legislation and often very more onerous requirements for the company to comply with through the listings on Toronto Stock Exchange or other companies, London, Australian stock market. And these are then often reinforced by the various shareholders or lenders who will not lend to companies that are deemed to be irresponsible on any of these particular points. So no, I don't believe that there's a danger. I think companies realize and stand by their obligations on environmental and social requirements.
Boris, I think leading on from what you've said, from a social perspective specifically, what would you advise in order to sustain and build a positive rapport with local communities during this COVID time?
Well, I believe that mining companies have moved on from establishing a mine and throwing up a fence around it and ignoring everybody outside of the fence. Mines now are very cognizant of the host communities within which they operate and are increasingly including those communities or members of those communities into the mine's operation and its planning. And mining companies understand that it's absolutely crucial that their host communities are advocates for the company and its continued operation in the area. Now, there obviously is a finite amount of spend time, energy that mining companies can put into these communities, and they certainly are not a panacea for all the ills that are present in these communities. And one of the great difficulties is to close the aspiration gap and expectation gap. And I think this is critical, and the only way to really address it is through ongoing honest communication between the mines and community representatives, in as far as is possible, to establish what are the priorities for the community and to what degree can the mining company assist with addressing these, or even assist in co-opting either the government or other funders into a combined package whereby some of these needs can be addressed. And it's an ongoing work in progress. Mines are very long-term investments and will be around for a long time. So a lot of the improvements will take time to implement, and provided that the conversation remains honest, remains ongoing, and there is a degree of alignment between the communities, both the expectations and clarity of what are the real needle movers in terms of projects or developments that the mines can assist with. there is no doubt that the regions around mines will continue to improve. The city you and I are sitting in at the moment, Johannesburg, started with a couple of people scratching in the ground, and through mining activity and inclusive economic development around those mines, we have a city of Johannesburg. And I think there are many other cities that follow a similar pattern. So communication is vital, and establishing what goals are achievable, be honest about it, and then positive development. Mines are very, very good at executing, be it projects, be it programs. They have almost a unique skill in being able to make things happen in difficult areas.
Should you ignore artisanal mining? Join Mining Review Africa for a live webinar on 9 June with commodity trader Trafigura, non-governmental organization PACT, the United States Agency for International Development, and commodity research firm CRU Group, as they share their wins and aspirations for building a successful artisanal mining sector in the DRC and further afield. Visit miningreview.com to book your seat.
What are mining companies' expectations in terms of assistance from the DRC government to help them deal with COVID-19?
We had a session at the Chamber of Mines with the Minister of Mines, and these were one of the topics we brought during the discussions. On one hand, we demonstrated unprecedented solidarity from the mining industry with government in terms of actions to fight the spread of the COVID-19. The mining industry came together and contributed in many ways, in donations, whether it's in equipment or monetary donation, but as well as taking special measures to keep mining production going and not dismissing people in these difficult circumstances. So this is what the mining industry has done. But as you know, it takes two to tango. What we said to the mining minister is what we expect from the government is to ease off the tax burden, basically. Because when you look at the tax regime, which is applied on mining companies and to business in general, it is more punitive than encouraging. So the whole idea is to ease off exoneration procedures and taxes, so that we see less queuing of trucks at the borders. We see more efficient logistics, but also what is due to the mining industry in terms of tax rebate, exoneration on value-added taxes, etc., to really be granted to the mining industry. Because ultimately, we said to government, you have to make a choice between keeping jobs and easing of the tax burden. One is to make a choice if you want to. We can't score in both. Yes, so far we managed to keep our workers, majority at least. But on the other hand, we must ease off the tax burden. So that's essentially what you expect from the DRC government.
Louis, are you aware of mining workers that are striking or protesting working conditions as a result of the COVID-19 threat?
I am aware of striking workers at the Tenke Fungurume. I am not entirely sure of the reasons. I understand it's all about the bonus that the workers would like to get, because many of them have been locked away from the families for 2 months, even 3 months, and therefore I guess workers and the unions, they are exchanging and comparing notes. And I know many mining sites have granted a form of bonus per day spent on site, which is an incentive actually to encourage workers. But in terms of working conditions, I think the mining industry has done the best it can. Remember, the COVID-19 pandemic got the entire world off guard. So everyone is trying to catch up with whatever he can do to keep business going. So conditions might not be perfect, but it's definitely one of the priorities of all the mining industry to give the best possible working conditions and the one they can afford in it. That comes at an extra cost, but we need to put our workers first, the health of our workers first, in order to keep production going. So that's the only case I know of workers striking. Thank you. There might be others, but I'm not aware of.
Okay. Louis, you are quite a mining expert in the DRC. What is your vision in ensuring operations bring positive impacts to the lives of most vulnerable people in the DRC, even after COVID-19?
I think more than ever, we are challenged to look into the tripartite partnership between government, mining operators, and local communities, to have in-depth discussions in which each party understands the rights and obligations. We don't only have rights, we also have obligations. And this is a time when we all need to come together and look at how together we can build a better place, a better life for our communities surrounding the mines, but also for host countries to benefit from the mining industry. There hasn't been a lot of misunderstanding, because sometimes expectations are unrealistic, and sometimes we don't take time to really listen to the other and understand that we also have obligations. I mean, the state does not only have obligation to collect taxes, they also need to provide a secure business environment, reassure investors, and make sure that they give the best possible conditions to attract investments and keep investments coming. Because money is a coward. It runs away from difficult jurisdictions, and it will go towards more attractive jurisdictions. So the state has a duty to make sure that the environment is conducive to attractive investment. And therefore, they need to support very strongly the industry and not just collect taxes. And same, the industry also has obligations. Yes, we need to bring capital and technology. We have to build capacity of our human capital to make sure that we can run businesses efficiently. We need to comply with the rules and regulations of the country, be good citizens. But we also have rights, the right to be supported, to be respected, the right to be listened to when we have issues, like in times of crisis like this. It's a right we have, and we will remain vocal about this so that people understand. And finally, the community, local community, they have the right, certainly, to benefit from all the opportunities the investment is bringing to the land in terms of job opportunities, business opportunities, growth and sustainable community projects. Yes, that's the right, but they also have obligations. The obligation is to buy into the project, to support the projects, and to provide a soft infrastructure in terms of the willingness to work hard, honestly, with good work ethics, so that the project can be a success in the land. So it's around these tripartite discussions and understanding of rights and obligations that we need to focus on, so that we can come up with a solution that will take all three parties forward.
We'll not let distance stop us from bringing you informative and up-to-date content from Central Africa's most strategic mining district. Join the DRC Mining Week digital event on 17, 18 and 19 June, where industry experts will chart the way forward to a brighter mining future. Register now to secure your spot for the virtual event on drcminingweek.com.
Have any COVID-19 cases been identified on mining sites in the DRC? And if so, how many?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I firstly need to clarify the question. We are referring to industrial mining sites, because these are the ones we get the reliable information from, as opposed to artisanal mining sites, where it's pretty much informal and with very little reliable information. When it comes to industrial mining sites, with all mining companies, which we know are member of the mines, of the Chamber of Mines, we haven't seen any COVID-19 case to date. So there is none. And again, this is for industrial mining sites. When it comes to artisanal mining sites, although we haven't heard anything until now in terms of confirmed cases, one is to be very cautious because statistics on artisanal mining sites are not easily available and reliable. So I will limit myself to formal mining sites and say no, we haven't seen any COVID-19 cases to date.
Excellent, thanks, Louis. My next question: what are mining companies' expectations in terms of assistance from the DRC government to help them deal with COVID-19?
We had a session at the Chamber of Mines with the Minister of Mines, and these were one of the topics we brought during the discussions. On one hand, we demonstrated unprecedented solidarity from the mining industry with government in terms of actions to fight the spread of the COVID-19. The mining industry came together and contributed in many ways, in donations, whether it's in equipment or monetary donation, but as well as taking special measures to keep mining production going and not dismissing people in these difficult circumstances. So this is what the mining industry has done. But as you know, it takes two to tango. What we say to the mining minister is what we expect from government is to ease off the tax burden, basically. Because when you look at the tax regime, which is applied on mining companies and to business in general, it is more punitive than encouraging. So the whole idea is to ease off exoneration procedures and taxes so that we see less queuing of trucks at the borders. We see more efficient logistics, but also what is due to the mining industry in terms of tax rebate, exoneration on value-added taxes, etc., to really be granted to the mining industry. Because ultimately, we said to government, you have to make a choice between keeping jobs and easing of the tax burden. One is to make a choice if you want to. We can't score on both. Yes, so far we managed to keep our workers, the majority at least. But on the other hand, we must ease off the tax burden. So that's essentially what you expect from the DRC government.
Louis, are you aware of mining workers that are striking or protesting working conditions as a result of the COVID-19 threat?
I am aware of striking workers at the Tenke Fungurume. I'm not entirely sure of the reasons. I understand it's all about the bonus that the workers would like to get, because many of them have been locked away from the families for 2 months, even 3 months. And therefore, I guess workers and the unions, they are exchanging and comparing notes. And I know many mining sites have granted a form of bonus per day spent on site, which is an incentive actually to encourage workers. But in terms of working conditions, I think the mining industry has done the best it can. Remember, the COVID-19 pandemic got the entire world off guard. So everyone is trying to catch up with whatever he can do to keep business going. So conditions might not be perfect, but there's definitely one of the priorities of all the mining industry, to give the best possible working conditions and the one they can afford in it. That comes at an extra cost, but we need to put our workers first, the health of our workers first, in order to keep production going. So that's the only case I know of workers striking. Thank you. There might be others, but I'm not aware of.
Okay. Louis, you are quite a mining expert in the DRC. What is your vision in ensuring operations bring positive impacts to the lives of most vulnerable people in the DRC, even after COVID-19?
I think more than ever, we are challenged to look into the tripartite partnership between government, mining operators, and local communities, to have in-depth discussions in which each party understands the rights and obligations. We don't only have rights, we also have obligations. And this is a time when we all need to come together and look at how together we can build a better place, a better life for our communities surrounding the mines, but also for host countries to benefit from the mining industry. There hasn't been a lot of misunderstanding, because sometimes expectations are unrealistic, and sometimes we don't take time to really listen to the other and understand that we also have obligations. I mean, the state does not only have obligation to collect taxes, they also need to provide a secure business environment, reassure investors, and make sure that they give the best possible conditions to attract investments and keep investment coming. Because money is a coward. It runs away from difficult jurisdictions, and it will go towards more attractive jurisdictions. So the state has a duty to make sure that the environment is conducive to attractive investment. And therefore, they need to support very strongly the industry and not just collect taxes. And same, the industry also has obligations. Yes, we need to bring capital and technology. We have to build capacity of our human capital to make sure that we can run businesses efficiently. We need to comply with the rules and the regulations of the country, be good citizens. But you also have rights, the right to be supported, to be respected, the right to be listened to when we have issues, like in times of crisis like this. It's a right we have, and we will remain vocal about this so that people understand. And finally, the community, local community, they have the right, certainly, to benefit from all the opportunities the investment is bringing to the land in terms of job opportunities, business opportunities, growth and sustainable community projects. Yes, that's the right, but they also have obligations. The obligation is to buy into the project, to support the project, and to provide the soft infrastructure in terms of the willingness to work hard, honestly, with good work ethics, so that the project can be a success in the land. So it's around these tripartite discussions and understanding of rights and obligations that we need to focus on, so that we can come up with a solution that will take all three parties forward.
We hope our experts were able to answer all of your DRC-related questions. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast, which is available on all popular podcast platforms. Give us a 5-star rating and share deep insights with your social networks. Also, log on to miningreview.com to access our webinars, videos, industry insights, and the latest mining news. Until next time, goodbye.